Len, here we are, and it seems like golf in December is still alive in the Chicago area. The temperatures are dropping a little bit overnight, and there's some frost issues here and there, but we're going to have a couple days in the middle of next week where the temperature is supposed to be up around 50, and it's supposed to be sunny out, so maybe there's a last chance for a couple golf courses to still get in some play in the second week of December.
Well, I tell you, on the national front here in Florida, the weather has certainly not been ideal for golf at all. We've played, and I tell you, the courses, the public courses that we've played have not been in good shape, thanks, and I'm sure the private ones aren't as well because of the heavy rains that we've had, but there it is starting to dry out, and one thing we got to remember, even more broadly, is we've still got one of the majors of championships coming up next week in the U.S. Women's Open in Houston. So golf is this year has maybe been one which stretched the golf season out longer than it ever has. Usually things are just a silly season event of some sort or other in December prior to the start up of again in January. But this year there's still a lot of good golf left to both be played and to watch.
Len, you are absolutely correct. The U.S. Women's Open will be teeing off next week, and it'll be interesting to see. Who knows? Perhaps there's yet another young Korean female star ready to win her first U.S. Women's Open. In recent years, not only top players in the world of women's golf from the country of South Korea have won, but sometimes it's players that are coming over here first, getting their feet wet in American golf, and they've walked away with the trophy. And it's been amazing the dominance that players from that country have had in the U.S. Women's Open in recent years.
Well, you know, the one that kind of started all that with Saree Pott back at Black Wolf Run in Wisconsin with a dramatic victory. But now, I mean, there's been we probably have up to 10 players from Korea that could win these various tournaments. I always like Sonyeon Ryu is my favorite because she's a friendly person who's well spoken and is the best interview of the lot that we've seen in the events when they've come to our area. Of course, we had one of their majors, both Olympia Fields and Kemper Lakes in recent years. So we got a feeling of just how good those players are. But sooner or later, we got to get a breakthrough from somewhere else. I came across an interesting statistic there that Lexi Thompson, who really probably is not the top American anymore, although I don't know who would be better, but she has played in this U.S. Women's Open since she was 12 years old. I did not realize I know she's been a great player from the early years on, but I didn't realize it was quite that impressive.
Well, it will be interesting to see how they make this all work next week. I believe the field is a little smaller than it has been in the past, but also the benefit of having the U.S. Women's Open at the Champions Golf Club is that they have actually two championship golf courses there. And it's interesting that the U.S. Women's Open is going to adopt the format that we normally see at the U.S. Amateurs or the mid-amateurs, where players are going to play two different courses the first 2 days and then maybe lock into the main course for the weekend after the cut's made.
You know, I think that is a very smart decision, and I think that I've been following that aspect of the tournament especially more closely, because I think that's a very good idea regardless of the time of the year to go to clubs where there's two courses available, more spread out fields. Maybe the days would, maybe they'd be a little bit shorter, maybe the facilities would be, there'd be more space for spectators. I think it bears, I think it was a great idea to try this in Houston, and I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if we see it again down the road in other tournaments, not just LPGA, but other tournaments. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Len, the LPGA will not be done after the U.S. Women's Open, even though it's not really an LPGA event, but it sounds like there's some golf for the ladies yet to be played closer to your neck of the woods.
They're going to be up in Naples for their CME Tour Championship. It's their version of a of a tour championship. It's the wrap up of a very select field event. Still, I'm wondering if they're yet to have spectators on site even there, because if they don't have it in that tournament, I think we've gone from, well, the PGA Tour did allow a limited crowd, but spectator golf is almost a non-happening thing anymore. We'll have to see, but it'd be nice if they're available. I'd like to go up to Naples and see actual tournament, live tournament coverage again.
Well, it would be good to see, and hopefully there'll be some fans there invited. You know, after all, when we see the news that the Farmers Insurance Tournament on the PGA Tour that isn't going to be played till the end of January or beginning of February is already said no fans. And heck, in the world of college football, one of the biggest sporting events of the year that takes place on New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl, will have no fans. So it'll be interesting to see how fans start to filter back into golf tournaments as we move from 2020 into 2021.
Yeah, you know, all the sports, it's kind of eerie. It's really, if you think about it, golf especially started it all because it was the first sport to get back into action during these pandemic times. But sports have been almost basically a TV show for everything this whole year. And it's, I tell you, once spectators start coming back, I hope they come back in droves. I would think they would for whatever their game is, in our case, golf. It does bear watching because, you know, it hasn't been bad watching it on TV, but it doesn't have the same atmosphere as being there.
Well, Len, we are starting our transition here and into winter golf, which we sort of touched on a little bit there at the top of the podcast. I know that there's probably only a few more days left of outdoor golf here in Chicago for the year. But what we have learned is that the golf domes are open. The Buffalo Grove Golf Dome opened this past week. Links and Tees in Addison has opened in the last week, and open since, we'll call it Black Friday, is the Mistwood Golf Dome, probably the all-around best indoor golf facility for indoor golf during the winter, and of course the best food and beverage operation in town attached to any one of these domes, eating there in the McWethy Sports Bar. Unfortunately, there is restrictions due to COVID, and right now, all the food there is being made to go. So while you're hitting balls, you can put your order in and tell them we'll be done hitting in 5 or 10 minutes. And by the time you're ready to leave, your order is all set to go. So I know that the Mistwood pros are over there already, and some lessons are happening there. But where they can, they're still trying to get some fitting and lesson work done at the Performance Center at Mistwood Golf Club.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. This was certainly going to be the heart of golf within the Chicago area for at least the next few months, having two facilities there to draw in players. The COVID restrictions can be reduced. You got to think they could be in the next month or so after we start getting vaccines in order. Those are really going to be packed, busy places because people will want to get their golf games in shape for the spring again, and this will be a great place for them to do it.
Well, Len, one thing that I've started to get some questions about from people, and usually interested in some of my travels, they said, you know, are you going to Florida? What's happening with that PGA merchandise show? And all I can tell people at this point is that the show will go on, as they say in the industry, but it'll be a virtual show this year for the PGA merchandise show coming up at the end of January. And I have to admit, I'd like to know a little bit more about what that means, how these companies are going to pull it off. And at last word, the ones that want to participate, I think, are still looking for some direction from the PGA of America as to exactly how that's going to happen.
This is really really going to be an interesting year for that show. That show has always, in a lot of ways, been a send-off for the whole season. I mean, everybody's gathering there from all the companies and so on. But the one thing that I hope can be preserved is some semblance of a demo day for maybe a two-day thing that with limited attendance, but at least some semblance of a presence. They have such a great range there at the Orange County National as the golf range that hosts the demo day, be a semblance of what that huge show has been for over 60 years. So I'm like you. I'm waiting to hear just what the plans are going to be. The A virtual show, it's just hard, a show of that big, for me to embrace just what they will be doing and the values that it'll have. But we'll be interested wherever they do or whatever they do. I'll be paying attention, that's for sure.
Len, speaking of golf shows, we got some interesting news this week out of Corcoran Expositions, the people who put on the Chicago Golf Show here at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, and it appears they got the show in this year just in time, because apparently about 2 to 3 weeks later, the convention center shut down and hasn't hosted any events since, but there's already a casualty for 2021, and it's the Chicago Golf Show. It won't happen, and it'll be amazing to see how many of the other states around here, especially some of them that don't have shows till March, will they cancel? How long are they going to wait to make a decision one way or the other? Will it determine where the nation is at on vaccines? But if Chicago area golfers are looking for one of the indoor shows, it's not going to be in Chicago this year.
Over 30 years that show's been going on, and that's people are going to miss it. It's a chance, you know, that they had a people can get in there, they could get free golf and free golf rounds and lots of incentives and just a good feel for regrouping for the year again. But I you know, there really was no choice but to call it off. I mean, if you can't have spectators in big groups, there's, you know, there was no choice. Tom Corcoran did pull the plug early. I mean, there was no, I'm sure he had much of a choice in the matter, but hopefully we'll see it again a year from now.
Len, yesterday I spent some time surveying a couple of places and doing some on-course visits, and the first stop was out at the Indian Lakes Resort. As we look ahead to next week with the Village of Bloomingdale paying for some land out there, buying some land that previously was the resort's golf area. And I have to admit, I was pretty surprised at what I saw. Not only the golf course, but the resort. Indian Lakes seemingly showing its age, and the golf course that's had no play for the last three seasons really looks to be overgrown and in terrible shape. And in my opinion, just from looking at it, is there'd have to be millions of dollars spent to redo, you know, drainage and, you know, eliminate flooding spots and things like that, redo the bunkers that are completely overgrown. I have to admit, based on the cost of some other projects that we've seen around town, I have to believe that that would not be a cheap project to do. When you start with irrigation and drainage, you can easily spend $2 to $3 million right there. And I got to believe that any redo of the Indian Lakes golf out there would be a $6 to $8 million project. And I don't know if the Village of Bloomingdale really wants to do that. So maybe our hope for golf coming back on that site was a little premature, but we'll have to see what they elect to do. But I got to believe to restore golf anything close to the level it was at would be a pretty expensive project.
That was so sad what happened over there. They had 27 holes, which had, a few years back, it wasn't all that far back, were pretty busy places. They had one, the regular 18-hole course was completely redone, and then very shortly thereafter it, they decided that there was even talk of developing the whole property then, and it's been a, you know, it's such a good location, a good central location. You'd think that the problems that have gone on over there, they could have been solved. It's sad to lose a golf course anyway, but I think that you're right about Indian Lakes there. To have that one restored, they basically have to build a whole new golf course. You know, I don't think you could restore a course that's been sitting there 3 years and basically is completely gone. You know, they, you know, maybe something could come back bigger and better, but it involves the hotel as well. I mean, that was part of the attraction there. Just knowing what I know and have seen from projects like this in the past, I don't see how a golf course operation will return to that property.
you know, you never know what could happen there. But it really needs somebody with money, a hotel chain that wants to come in and spend some money and fix things up. The parking lot, the entrance signs, overall landscaping and everything appeared to really need some work. So there's a lot of potential there. But in all honesty, at this point, Len, there's a lot that would need to be done and a big investment. Again, there's a lot of potential there. But whether somebody will ever spend the money to do it will be, that's a good question. Also, yesterday, I went out and met up with architect Greg Martin and took a look at Settlers Hill, and work is underway. They've been going at it out there for a couple of months. Four-hole junior course has been roughed out, and the greens areas have been sanded with the drainage put in. It's a neat little concept with four holes kind of around the outside with an open area in the middle where people can meet. If you have different groups of kids working on different things, you can send one group to putt, one group to chip, one group to do something else and rotate the various groups around. But there's a lot they're going to be able to do with junior golf over there at Settlers Hill. And it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. If the parents are coming out with the kids, they'll be able to come out realistically, take a wedge and a putter, and be able to join their favorite junior golfers to, around that little course to play. And it should be a lot of fun.
Indian Lakes is a very rare negative story for Chicago golf right now. I mean, you've been seeing this up close and personal at a number of courses, building clubhouses, redoing the especially at Sportsman's. We talked about that at length, the renovations and the building that's going on there in Northbrook in previous shows. Overall, you know, you've got to be pleased and excited. I certainly am, about all the projects that are underway that we'll see the fruit of the labor put in and come next spring or into the summer. It's a lot more good things are going on in golf in Chicago than the Indian Lakes issue. But I've really was surprised by how many good things, to be honest with you, in the form of both, just if you combine the clubhouses and work being done on some of the courses.
Well, the clubhouse project, we've talked a little bit about that in recent weeks, some of the ones that are going up, the Preserve at Oak Meadows, Fox Run Golf Club, the Elk Grove Park District, and of course Sportsman's Country Club over in Northbrook are three of them. We know that Glencoe Golf Club up in the village of Glencoe is working on fundraising right now to redo that clubhouse, and we wish them the best on being able to pull together the money to make an improvement there. I'm looking forward to an upcoming tour with my radio partner and the executive director of the DuPage County Forest Preserve District, Ed Stevenson. In a couple of weeks, we're going to take a hike around the clubhouse when it's all enclosed and take a look at the work going on inside as that project moves forward. Again, I know the people there are looking forward to having that clubhouse up and running and fully operational by opening day of golf at the Preserve in 2021, which will be a great thing. Glenn, I touched on the junior course over at Settlers Hill, but that's not the only thing happening out there. The workers are out there. There's a couple of holes that are dug up already. There's some movement going on in the area of where the new first tee is going to be. There was a lot of work. The big tractors and scoopers were out there moving some dirt around on the landfill to help shape the brand new driving range that'll be mostly natural grass. And I know golfers will enjoy that. Plenty of room to hit the ball out there, and with the elevation attached to that range. And when those winds from the west come in, people are going to get some real confidence on that driving range because I think they might be able to hit it a long way.
It's always been an interesting piece of property for a golf course, and I think Greg is just the guy to bring out even more of the possibilities of it over there. And that's another good location. I think that with more work being done on there, especially the work that Greg does, it's going to be a hotbed. That's going to be kind of like the work that was done at Schaumburg turned that place into a very busy golf course. And I think we're going to see the same thing as soon as Settlers is able to be back in operation, which I don't think it'll be next year, will it? Do you have an opening date planned for that, set for that one yet?
Settlers Hill will be reopening midsummer, hopefully June, somewhere between Memorial Day and 4th of July of 2022. It will be closed all of next year, but they're hoping for an early summer opening in 2022 at Settlers Hill in Batavia. The good news is that Sportsman's Golf and Country Club over here in Northbrook is expected to open in July of next summer. So that would be a good thing. There will be some things to look forward to. And of course, the over at Schaumburg that you touched on there, the Schaumburg Golf Club had its final nine closed all the way basically into August this year. So next year will be the first time in about 5 years that they will have had all 27 holes open through the entire golf season. And I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of golfers heading over there to play that golf course.
Yeah, you know, it's a big advantage having 27 holes. It makes getting people around, a lot of people out there, it makes it so much easier. And I know that people took a liking to what happened at Schaumburg, and I think they're going to just be a very busy place over there throughout the year, starting with the spring. As soon as golf can be played in Chicago again, there will be a lot of players at Schaumburg.
Well, Len, one thing I want to do here before we wrap up this week's podcast is to remind our listeners that you are going to want to check out golfersongolf.com. Next week, I'll be catching up with the brand new president of the PGA of America, Jim Richardson, for a one-on-one. And we'll discuss a lot of things, PGA Championship, the rescheduled Ryder Cup, going to Jim's old stomping grounds up in Kohler at Whistling Straits next year. It only seems fitting that the Ryder Cup at Kohler will be played while Jim is the president. Nothing against Susie Whaley. Wonderful job as the first woman president of the PGA of America the last couple of years. But with Jim's long history at Kohler, it'll be great to see him be able to walk into where he used to work as president of the PGA while the Ryder Cup is going on. We'll talk to him about their new headquarters in Frisco. Two courses under construction there, and those courses are already scheduled. There'll be a couple of PGA championships there. There will be a Ryder Cup there over the next 15 to 18 years or so. We'll get some updates on that and maybe some of the programs and instruction and different things that the PGA of America will be working with its member professionals on coming in 2021. Len, any final thoughts before we let it go? And we'll be back next week then.
You brought up the Golfers on Golf. Len Zeman Golf is going to have a couple of his new things coming up in the next week here. I posted one today. I had a very surprising visit to a place called Popstroke, which is Tiger Woods is involved in it. It's a chain. There's now two of them, both in Florida, and one to open in 2021 in Scottsdale, Arizona. They're being described as miniature golf courses, but boy, they're not. They're golf facilities that would have a little extra with them. So anyway, I think people will be interested in that. And I'm also putting together, I do this every few months, but this one I have a big one on a lot of pieces on rounding up what's new in golf travel that people can go to over the winter months. There's a lot going on at the major resorts. Golf is is still a lot of golf to be played, even if you just get away from the places where the snow has fallen, you can still have a lot of fun with that game. And I'm going to try to bring out some of the news on that front.
We wrap it up. A reminder, the golf domes are open here, and we encourage everyone to go to the premier golf dome in the Chicagoland area, the Mistwood Golf Dome, located on Route 53 out in Bolingbrook. Call them at 630-739-7600. That's 630-739-7600. Mistwoodgolfdome.com. Reservations are required. They want you to only show up about 10 minutes before you're hitting start. So they're trying to do everything in a safe manner so they can remain open during the pandemic. Of course, also in the meantime, don't forget McWethy's Tavern over at the clubhouse at Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. The number over there, 815-254-3333. there is a place too that you can go eat and get something to drink, but I would call ahead to see if you can eat there or if it is only carry out or to go right now with pandemic restrictions being what they are. Len, we'll talk to you for volume 38 in the U.S. Women's Open next week.